I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite show.
On 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a great Friday. I really do.
Super duper.
It's me, Rob, Big Souk, right over there.
Sports is sports.
Coming up, Joey Harrington, 5:30. Tonight in the club, what you can watch on TV that cures sadness. Mm. This is a new study.
Again, I'm going with Late Night Cinemax, but we'll see.
We will set your weekend DVR coming up in our next segment. The Astros are now at 4-1 on the Rays. God bless, man.
I know. You said it. The Rays can't hit.
They can't
hit.
Their
offense is terrible. And why?
God.
Can the Astros all of a sudden, why is their pitching great? It's been crappy all year. There's no Verlander. Greinke can't. Why are all these no names now suddenly unhittable?
Well, it's not like that, but, you know, the Astros, so let's just get this straight. They cheated worse than anybody's cheated in a long time in sports.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
Extensive cheating.
Yes.
That led to championship. Okay. They get caught. Everybody hates them. Then all of a sudden, because they're not cheating, they're not really that good.
They're very.
I will
average.
Remind you that their record in the regular season was. Hold on, I got to pull it up. Because I forgot it.
It was not very.
It was under 500, right?
They were 29-31.
Yes. Their
hitters weren't hitting.
Yeah, no one was hitting. Altuve was hitting like 220.
Because they don't know what pitch is coming.
Yes.
So what are we to say? Look, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but I'm pissed. If they win this series and they go on to win it all, what are we going to say?
I don't know.
We have nothing. They shut us up.
And they can't. And literally, there's no way to cheat. Like, there's
right.
No, there's no fans. There's,
that's what I mean.
You're not in your home ballpark.
Like, that's the ultimate
FU. It's
the
ultimate FU. It is. It's like when the Deflategate thing and New England went out and won the title. It's the ultimate middle finger. And then at that point.
We can't have this.
We
can't have
this. You just shut up. There's nothing you can do. It's the ultimate scoreboard point.
Well, the Rays better start hitting.
Look, I have said this.
This game's not over. But
no,
if it goes
not.
To game seven, you
it
feel good
feels
about the Rays?
Over.
I said that I would never root for the Atlanta Braves. It's going to have to change. There's always something that will get you.
I mean, you can just boycott the World Series.
I can't do that. At that point, I'm going to have to bet money on the Braves. Just to try to find something to grab onto.
You are.
Yes.
By the way, the Braves, I was looking at today, they're now the favorite
are
to
they?
Win it all. Well, obviously, I mean, they're up 3-1 and the Rays are,
oh, yeah, and the Rays are
kind of in trouble.
Yeah. Well, we said at the start of the Dodger series, you were like, what team has the look? And I was like, Braves? And everyone was like, they hadn't lost, they hadn't played anyone.
Well, the Rays had the look, but.
Do you think it was dumb of them to take Snell out? After giving up the two base runners?
I kind of thought about that. He'd only pitched 82 pitches. And
he gave up a walk and a infield single or a ground ball single.
So the first two runners in the fifth, top of the fifth, got on. And the Rays were up 1-0. Snell had calmed down. And the first two guys got on and then he pulled them. And it might have been a premature.
But their bullpen has been...
Yeah.
You can't fault them for that. They've been relying on the bullpen all year long.
Double play throughout the entire
for F6. So you can't fault them for that. You can fault them as why is their offense this bad?
Well,
this is our national nightmare.
It is.
The Gall.
I'm not happy about this.
And here's the thing: if they do win it, every douchey Astro fan, I'm looking at you, Officer Potter and Dusty. They'll just. You think Dirt was insufferable when the Giants won, and believe me, he was. This is going to be 10 times worse.
All right, well, let's out of sight, out of mind for a moment, okay?
Please.
Let's just move on to something
try to focus on something positive. I was having a nice day.
The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
That's a sticky situation.
Number 5.
Oh, hey, there's another swing and miss by Tampa Bay.
Someone said, sorry, guys, the Astros are going to win it. It's 2020. It's true. One last F you to us from 2020.
Damn it. Well, I'll just put it at number 5 then. That'll show them. It's only number 5 today. Astros up 4-1 in the 5th on Tampon.
Yeah.
God. The Dodgers and Braves tee off at 6:08.
Who's going tonight?
Well, the Braves are going with the guy who's never started a game in his life. He's a reliever, A.J. Minter.
Well, they went with the rookie last game, and he was great.
He was great, yeah. Dustin May's going for the Dodgers.
Okay.
So, I like that. I like him. Nice pitcher. I mean, if you're a Dodger fan.
You've liked all the pitching matchups if you're the Dodgers.
Well, the Braves, you know, they're kind of fun, those Braves.
I refuse to acknowledge that. I'm going to hate watch the World Series if it's the Astros and the Braves. I'm going to root for the giant meteor.
That's like you voting for Biden.
You just don't have a choice. You may not like it.
That's right.
But you just don't have a choice.
You're an adult.
Yes.
You know what to do.
And adults don't bet or root number for the four. Houston Astros.
If you are starved for more sports tonight, number 14, BYU has a little bit of a test. They visit number 1, Houston, 6:30 on ESPN.
My Cougs, who were rolling there for a while, but they had a tough one against Texas San Antonio last time.
Number 17, SMU is playing tonight. They are at Tulane, and boy, those Green Wave are up in the third quarter, 24-17.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, it would make sense because SMU's 17th and, 4-0, and this whole year has just been about undefeated ranked teams losing to nobodies, which means Houston's going to thump BYU tonight.
Southern Miss has a COVID outbreak. Their game against UTEP has been postponed. That makes 31 games canceled thus far in college.
Yeah, well, this is just going to continue to happen in college. But unlike the NFL, where they actually shut it down and try to do things properly, NCAA just kind of pushes ahead. I don't really care.
Number 3.
Baker Mayfield is questionable for the Browns against the Steelers. He has a couple of banged up ribs.
Yeah, he's going to go.
He should.
Yeah, and this is going to be a big game, but they've got a couple offensive linemen that are dinged up. Their best offensive lineman, their star guard is out, and they're facing a Pittsburgh defense that blitzes more than anyone else. So this is going to be a real tough test. And as you mentioned, Cleveland's pass defense is atrocious. I like Pittsburgh in this one.
Julio Jones cleared to face the Vikings. Dalvin Cook in that game will not go. He is, of course, the running back for Minnesota.
Yeah, he tweaked his groin in the game against Seattle. He's having a nice game before he got hurt.
What else do we have injury-wise?
Oh, if you want did you mention the Colts' false positive tests?
That's another. That's later.
Ah, that's later.
That's very important. It's higher up the food chain.
Okay.
Than injuries.
Number 2.
All right, number 2. Nick Saban tested negative for COVID. You may go, well, wait a minute. Nick Saban tested positive on Wednesday. Exactly. This is how they're going to get Nick Saban back out there tomorrow. So the school is saying if he tests negative again today and tomorrow morning, he can coach.
Yeah.
That's code for he will.
He's coaching. And already he's doing like a media blitz tour. He's on all these Zoom interviews telling everyone how he feels good and he's taking it very seriously, but he feels great. He's got his doctor there with him saying he's asymptomatic. And, you're right. 100%. Nick Saban is on the sidelines. Whether he's positive or not, Nick's going to be there.
Coughing all over people.
Yeah, no way he's missing that game. You have another bat break in the Astros game.
Yeah.
Snapped it right over his knee.
Oh, really? Brasso did?
Yeah.
Love
no,
that.
No, it was Zunino.
Oh, Zunino. And his big muscles.
They both struck out, so.
Gosh,
understandably, you would think it was Brasso, but Zunino did it.
They got the leadoff man on, and they all struck out.
Well, awesome. Wendell grounded into a fielder's choice, and then they struck out.
God.
Almost a double play.
I hate the Rays. I officially hate them.
Number one.
No, I hate the Astros. I'm not ready to hate
them. Well, I'm rooting for them, but I hate them.
I'm not ready to hate the Rays yet.
And I have no faith in them. None.
Oh, I'm right there with you. But I don't have enough hate in my heart.
Stupids.
I'm still focusing all my hatred towards the Astros and a little bit towards the Braves.
And the Patriots cannot kick the COVID. They did not practice today after another positive test. There is a second positive that is suspected, but they're waiting to confirm that. So this would be bad if they can't get that game off the ground this weekend, since both New England and Denver took byes last weekend. Two other NFL facilities have reopened. Falcons are back. Even after one of their coaches test positive, they just put him down. They have had three straight days of no new infections. And then the Colts had four false positives. So they initially shut down, but they're on track to play Sunday against the Bengals.
Yeah, everything's okay.
And then Browns receiver Odell Beckham tested negative for COVID, but he's still away from his team dealing with an illness.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to they released this, well, just this week, they're saying that they're going to be extra cautious. So if anyone this year in the NFL has illness symptoms, whether you've got a cough, the sniffles, runny nose, whatever, they are going to treat that like you've got COVID. And so even if you test negative, they're going to send you home until you stop showing those symptoms. Or again, you test negative multiple days in a row. So this is going to be interesting as it rolls on. Like if you get to a big game, right? Let's say we got Pittsburgh, Cleveland coming up, and Roethlisberger's got an illness, but he's not testing positive for COVID. You really think that Pittsburgh is going to go by the rules and keep Big Ben away from the team and not play because he's sick, but not with COVID? I mean, I know that's what the NFL is saying. They're erring on the side of caution, but I just don't know how many teams are going to abide by that unless you got the guy testing positive.
Hot 5 refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. We will set your weekend DVR. Take a look at the sports card for Saturday and Sunday coming up next. And then Joey Harrington will join us here on Football Friday on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington coming up next. We will discuss the evolution of the NFL into pure offense. And we will talk about malcontents.
Can I be a malcontent? Because the Astros just hit another home run.
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, 5-1.
This is going to 7.
I said I wasn't going to hate the Rays. Yeah, I'm starting to.
I don't see how you couldn't.
Yeah.
What an embarrassment.
They were playing for all of us, and they're just...
I hate them.
...wrapping the bed.
I don't even want them to come here anymore.
Go A's.
All right, cue the music there, Maestro, if you would. Let's set your weekend DVR before Joey pops on. The sports card. 9 a.m. tomorrow. Now... November 7th, you're actually at 9 a.m. going to get a really good Pac-12 game.
Yeah, we got USC, Arizona State.
Yes.
We got Auburn, South Carolina. South Carolina's 1-2.
I hate South Carolina.
Yeah, well, it's still...
I hate them like I hate the Rays. Like, they just do something, will ya?
Will Muschamp.
Will you do something, South Carolina?
Well, Miami was supposed to do something last week, and they got their ass kicked by Clemson, but they're playing Pitt at 9 a.m., if you care about that.
Clemson, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech 2-2. They beat Florida State and Louisville, but they lost to Syracuse and Central Florida. Answer to that question is no.
Kansas, West Virginia.
Well, you toss out the records when those two get together.
And then Kentucky, Tennessee. Those are your 9 a.m. games. Kentucky, yeah. Tennessee could be good. Isn't Tennessee like good now all of a sudden?
Well, they were supposed to be, but they got taken out behind the woodshed against Georgia. They hung with them for a little bit, and then Georgia blew them out, by 3 touchdowns.
Louisville, Notre Dame, 11:30 NBC.
Remember when Louisville was good?
They're not anymore?
No. No. They
really?
They
I
suck.
Thought that coach was like a hot item.
They suck rocks. In fact, they've lost 3 in a row. Miami, Pitt, and remember we mentioned Georgia Tech not being good. Georgia Tech blew them out.
So basically nobody's good.
Notre
Dame's good. They got a good offensive line.
Notre Dame's good. Clemson's really good in extended development again. Clemson's really good.
This is the first time in 5 weeks that Notre Dame will not have any players in quarantine or isolation.
Yeah, for a while there, man, there were games where they were playing where they were down like 12, 13 guys.
Now, this a couple weeks ago looked like a monster matchup. It doesn't as much now, but it could be good. Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher visiting Mike Leach in Mississippi State.
Now, Jimbo's coming off. That's his first top five win. So his biggest win at A&M was last week when they knocked off Florida. And that Mom guy, they have the quarterback. Yeah, he had a lot of hype around him, and he hasn't really lived up to it. And I watched that the Florida game. He looked pretty good. I just don't think he's as hyped.
Well,
and speaking
of
hype, Mississippi State for 1 week was riding high, and they didn't score.
1 o'clock ESPN.
They scored 2 points against Kentucky. Two.
Now, if you need a Braves-Dodgers game six, that would be if the Dodgers win tonight. That game will actually be tomorrow at 1:40 on FS1.
Okay.
So you could flip over to that in between college football. North Carolina, Florida State. That's a pretty good little matchup because I saw a thing on ESPN from Jesse Palmer. Mm-hmm. And who's the other guy on that college show?
I'm not certain.
Well, anyway, they were doing their top five rankings, and they or top six, I think, and they had North Carolina in there. They think North Carolina is like really good.
Well, they're recruiting well, and they got Sam Howell, who's supposed to be a first round pick sort of guy. And you know, Florida. Who would have thought that if we went back just a handful of years, that this would be a battle, North Carolina, Florida State, and one of the teams is ranked number five. And it's not Florida State. Florida State's 1-3.
So Mack Brown gets there, and all of a sudden, North Carolina is a force.
Yes.
Interesting.
And all of a sudden, they're recruiting at a really, really high level.
Hmm. That'll be on ABC at 4:30. And then, of course, the game of the day tomorrow is Georgia-Alabama at 5 on CBS.
Game of the year so far.
Not even close.
And by the way, these are the last two undefeated teams in the SEC.
Yeah, but they're both going to get into the playoffs, so how big is it?
Yeah. I mean, if they run the table the rest of the way, although being on opposite sides of the SEC title game, if one of the teams wins both games, then no. You know, if Georgia wins this or Alabama wins it and then they knock each other off in the title game again, then, you know, it certainly doesn't leave you any margin for error.
There's a chance we get – it's just an all-SEC playoff.
Clemson gets in 100%.
Oh, Clemson.
I still think if we're being honest about it, you're going to get Clemson, you're going to get the SEC champ. Ohio State, everyone seems to think can run the table there. And don't look now, but look at Notre Dame. Mm. Notre Dame has a pretty good schedule, and they've got a big one coming up against Clemson. Oh.
Well, Clemson, Ohio State, SEC, and Notre Dame winner. Have I heard that before?
I think you have heard that before.
Jeez.
And by the way,
For chaos.
Notre Dame will look great right up until they play Clemson and they'll lose by 30 because that's what Notre Dame does.
Game 7, Astros-Rays will be tomorrow night at 5:45. So look, tomorrow night around 5.
It's going to get good.
It's going to get good because it looks like Rays-Astros will go to a Game 7 and then you'll have Georgia-Alabama as well. So the baseball game will be on TBS and the football game will be on CBS. Sunday, here locally, 10 a.m. game is Browns-Steelers. That's good. They're showing us that one.
Yeah.
Bears-Panthers on Fox at 10 a.m. I don't know why they're showing that. Packers-Bucks, 1:30 on Fox, so that's good. Well,
I think you got the two best games.
Yeah,
you got the two best games, right. Which is nice because a lot of times, you know, let's be honest, sometimes the local choices we get are bubkis.
Well, they put the West Coast teams on there. But Rams-Niners will be the Sunday night football game.
Eh, whatever.
And then we have two Monday nighters, Chiefs-Bills. That game is going to be at 2 our time, 2 p.m., on our show on Monday, that game will be going on when we start.
Well, and there's a chance we either get three Monday night games or we get a Tuesday night games. Because remember, if that guy has a positive test today, there's a chance that Patriot game gets moved.
And then we have Cardinals-Cowboys Monday night ESPN 5:15. Reminder, Big Ten football starts next week. Nebraska-Ohio State is one of the matchups. Minnesota-Michigan.
Take Ohio State. They're going to run roughshod over that conference.
And then Pac-12 starts November 7th. That's your weekend DVR. Should be a good day tomorrow. Coming up next, Joey Harrington. But first, Mike with SportsCenter. All right, Football Fridays. You know what that means. Joey Harrington, he sings to you
with his glorious singing voice.
It got stuck there, did you?
On that open, and now he's coming to us.
With his glorious, glorious voice.
Yes, he's coming to us from a glorious place this week. He has made his way over to Black Butte Ranch, where they have just put in, I was able to play on this earlier this summer when it first opened. They have a dynamite new little putting course there.
Yeah, with like the volcano hole and a clown and all that, or no?
Giant windmill. You know, actually, they have a giant giant statue of Rob right in the middle that you have to like putt through his mouth.
Now he's right. He's mayor of Black Butte, in case
you, always open.
You didn't know. He's a legend down in those parts.
I love Black Butte Ranch. I must say, I love it. That is a wonderful place.
It Magical. Is. It Magical. Really is. It's a wonderful spot.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, the boys had parent-teacher conferences this week, at the end of the week, and so we just kind of snuck over.
Are they learning?
Things you do during a global pandemic. When it's like, well, we don't have any sports going on the weekends, and we don't have anything, so, you know, just leave.
Might as well. Are they learning anything in school at all?
You know what? Hey, we are, I will say, so the boys are all Saints and have done, and they have done an incredible job, the principal and teachers there. They're in school 8:15 to 2:45 every day.
Okay.
We are six Zoom calls and small groups and binder exchanges and homework, and it's surreal.
I've got one kid in school, and to be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't seen her in like 9 days. I'm not certain what she's doing in school. She usually sleeps and then wakes up and just goes to school in her room. I see her for about 20 minutes at night, so I'm going to assume everything's going well.
It's
and,
probably fine.
And call it good. Yeah.
And call it good. Well, to be honest, I'm sitting and teaching third grade spelling and math. And fighting through our lesson plans pretty much every day. So, you know.
So, suddenly my plan doesn't seem so bad, like free-range chickens. Let nature take its course. She'll figure it out. She's smart.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, record pace for touchdowns and for points in the NFL. What do you attribute that to?
Rules, restrictions. You know, I think Suk would agree with me that over the course of the last decade, the NFL has been slowly changing its rules to benefit offense for that exact point. They want more points. They want more excitement. They want, you know, it got to the point about 10 years ago where, you know, every game was 17-14 or 10-7 and nobody was having as much fun. And so, you know, college football, that's the excitement. That's where they're dropping 30, 40, 50 points a game. And that's what people wanted to see some form of that. Sorry, my 11-year-old just about knocked a hole in one from about 75 feet. Yep. But, you know, that's what's been happening. I mean, you can't breathe on a guy if you're a DB without a penalty.
Yeah, now, you know, you look at a lot of guys now that are just doing these three-step drops and bringing in some of the college concepts and RPOs and the fact that you can't be physical on the outside. It's just, you see even in college, these are tough covers. You know, when you're getting rid of the ball, it negates a pass rush, and when you can't get physical with guys to the line of scrimmage, you can't disrupt those quick routes. It's really hard to stop. It's hard to stop.
It is, and it's. I don't say it's unfortunate, but some of football has been taken away. You know, I mean, there is a certain amount of physical. You got to be able to make contact with the guy, right?
Yeah.
Like it truly has given the complete and total advantage to the receiver, and this was starting to happen as I was leaving the NFL, that. We would work as quarterbacks and wide receivers, but we would work on throwing a ball. If you're throwing a deep ball, whereas before you used to have to just drop it into a bucket, right? That was what we would practice with Coach Tedford at Oregon. Is we'd put literally a garbage can out there at 40. You'd hit your fade routes between 40 and 46 yards. So you drop it. You know, he'd kind of put it in that area, and you would try and drop your ball into that garbage can on the sideline, 43 and a half yards away. At the end of my career, we would practice throwing a ball between 38 and 40 yards to
actually stop your receiver and create contact with the DB, because either your receiver got it. Like, there's three things that can happen, right? It can be intercepted. Your receiver can catch it. Or excuse me, four things. It could be incomplete, or you can get a penalty. And of those four things, only one of them is bad, right? If you've got a 75% chance of something good happening when you underthrow a fade route, then that's what's going to happen, and that's the way that the league is going to develop, especially as they continue to make the rules more difficult for DBs.
And I've always said, you know, the NFL's set up to throw the ball, so you have to be able to win from the pocket because you got to be able to win on third down. But, you know, when you were coming out, they loved the, you know, the pocket quarterback. But when you can't hit guys anymore, even when you're running, I mean, the mobile quarterback is that thing is here. And I'm not going to say there was one guy that revolutionized it. I'm with you. I think the rules revolutionized it. You can't hit anyone anymore, even when they run downfield. So the mobile quarterback, yeah, it's a killer. You honestly can't really play man-to-man on third down anymore, because if you do against a mobile quarterback, it's an automatic first down with him running.
Well, you're seeing the evolution of, or so the integration of college football into the NFL, and it has happened. You know, that is what was, you know, people would say you can't run the option. Well, sure, you can't run the option, or you don't want to run the option with your $100 million quarterback. But you can incorporate some of those concepts in a way that are feasible in the NFL, and the rules changes have helped with that. Now, some of it is out of necessity. I mean, there is a very real problem with concussions, and there is a very real problem with long-term physical ailments for guys who play in the NFL. And so you do the best to mitigate those things. But consequently, it has created what you're seeing now, which is a high scoring league that's much more similar to college football than it was 10 years ago.
Do you like it though? Do you like to watch it? Do you like the product?
I do. I frankly do. I mean, I've never been a big NFL fan. I mean, I got to be honest. Like, those 17, 14 games, they bore me. You know, I know I don't want 51-48. But I, you know, a little bit of excitement is fun, right? I mean, and that's the thing that's still great, I think, about the NFL is that, you know, what's the stat? You know, Sue, you'd know it better than me, but it's 58% of games are decided by 8 points or less.
Yeah.
And, you know, 38% by 3 points or less, but, you know, 90% of them come down to the last possession. I mean, that is what you're seeing a lot in the NFL, is these games coming down to the wire. I mean, guys like Russell Wilson having to put together the drives that he did this last week, and that's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, I like it too. No lead safe. But, you know, it's interesting because it used to be that if your quarterback got lit up, I mean, you just couldn't do anything. But now you look at, well, I'll just use the rookies. Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are both getting lit up. Their offensive lines aren't any good. And yet they're slinging it all over the place. And that's got to be a product of what you guys are talking about.
Well, and guys are getting better. I mean, you have to remember that a lot of guys were coming from those college programs where they were slinging it into a league that was full of drop back offense, drop back strategy, right? West Coast offense. And now what they were doing in college is what's happening more and more in the NFL. So, you know, there's a certain level of comfort to that, where even if your offensive line isn't perfect or isn't even serviceable, you still know how to get the ball out of your hands and have some bit of success.
Yeah, it's all cyclical. And like we saw, you know, for a while, it didn't feel like quarterbacks were hitting. And now we feel like they're hitting on a more regular basis. And offensive line, too. I thought offensive line for a long time was a huge problem because no alignment were coming out of college. They were all failing because the college game wasn't preparing them. But if you looked over the last couple of years, you're putting out first-round offensive linemen that are playing right away, and they're playing really, really well. So I think not only you mentioned that the quarterbacks are getting better, and they are. They're better prepared than ever. I think finally we're starting to get some old linemen coming out of college, and you'll see this with the Penei Sewells and Tristan Wirfs and Jaderic Wills, all these guys, and Becton, the kid from the Jets, when he's healthy. We're getting really good quarterback play, and we're getting good O-line play at the collegiate level now coming up, and the two games are merging.
it's interesting to see at what point it's going to be too much, right? At what point the pendulum is going to swing too far the other way, and the NFL is going to say, "All right, let's start restricting these rules that we've lessened for the last decade or so."
Bring back the wing tee. Let's do this.
I ran that in high school.
This is Joey Harrington, Football Friday. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about malcontents in the NFL. Like Earl Thomas, great player, still has something left, but nobody wants him. Le'Veon Bell and what he just went through with the Jets. It's interesting. I want to ask you about that, having been in the locker room as you have. Joey Harrington, every Football Friday at 5:30 here on 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, our dear friend, who is coming to us live from the new putt-putt course at Black Butte. Beautiful Black Butte Ranch. I wanted to ask you about malcontents because there's a lot of guys like... Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen your share, but Antonio Brown... Great example, great player, but a guy that the league has just punted on. Earl Thomas, seemingly nobody wants him now. As a matter of fact, I think the Texans like vetoed signing him, even though they could have really used him. How many true unadulterated malcontents did you play with in your career, and what do they do to a locker room?
Boy, true unadulterated malcontents.
Or just disruptive
other
guys.
Other than Bobby Petrino?
The coach was the malcontent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
You know, I'll start with your second question. Is they can wreck a locker room. They can absolutely ruin a locker room. Because what you have to remember is there is such a fine line between, or I should say there's so little difference in talent between the first guy and the last guy on the roster, right? Anybody who gets it's that conversation, or the Brian Scalabrine is what it reminds me of, right? Where everybody's like, oh, I could beat Brian Scalabrine, you know, when he was on the bench for the Celtics there, and you know, then he went out and actually took on everybody and just dominated them, even though he's the last one on the bench on an NBA roster. The last guy on the NFL roster, talent-wise, is still incredibly talented. And so the difference between number one and number 52 isn't skill. It's attitude. It's confidence. It's what's in between the ears. It's what he's learned. It's what's in his heart. Like those are the differences between the best and the worst guy in the NFL. And so if I've got a guy who is, you know, let's say Earl Thomas is a 95 out of 100. And I've got a guy who's a 90 out of a 100, but he's got an incredible attitude and can be an asset to the locker room. And he could play special teams, and he can do those little things that we talked about. You know, a one possession game, guys. I mean, we're talking about one mistake, one play during a game. If I can bring around a guy who could be a positive asset in that situation, as opposed to somebody who's going to be thinking about themselves, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that every day. I'm not even going to think twice about it. So I don't think there's – I would make that decision as well, right? I'm not going to rush out and sign Le'Veon Bell unless I'm the Patriots, right? Unless I'm Bill Belichick, who can keep him in line and say, here's your minimum contract. You know, if you don't hit A, B, and C, I'm shipping you out tomorrow. I mean, there's no room for it anymore, because, frankly, it's the kind of thing that will destroy a locker room.
Yeah, you look at him in Kansas City. He's not option one. He's not option two. He's probably not option three, and he's going to split times with a rookie that's going to be there longer than he is. And you're dealing with an MVP. It's funny. It's like that you mentioned, those really elite teams can take on those personalities. you put a bad personality on a bad team, and that is, that's like oil and water, like it just, or gasoline and fire. It just, it feels like that. And you see it like when the malcontents on an elite team and they finally get tired of him because there's just enough's enough and he's a pain in the ass, whether it's Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and they go to lesser organizations and it's never the same success. It's never, it never works out the way it did in his first team. It always blows up.
The interesting thing is, and I'm oftentimes bad teams create malcontents. Or I should say further the development of malcontents. But there's, it's interesting because would you call T.O. a malcontent?
Yeah, he was, he certainly had that element. You know, there's no way around it. He was a difficult guy in a locker room.
Right, but he's one of the greatest to ever play. Yeah. And so there's a very fine line between that confidence and that ego that you need to be successful. And the malcontent that creates division in the locker room, right? I mean, there's not that much difference between the former and the latter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is interesting because I think in good organizations, those players can thrive. But when you take them and you put them into a – a crummy organization, that's when, you know, losing – just what's the word, magnifies their personal issues.
Then too is like when you're those guys that are malcontents, the TOs, the Earl Thomas, you know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, when they're at their peak, right, when they're at their absolute best, it's so good that you're willing to look the other way. But we all know this. Your peak in the NFL doesn't last very long, right? I mean, you got like maybe three prime years where you're really, really at your best, and then there's a fall off. And it's funny that once that fall off starts, that's when you really become a problem, because the malcontent, I don't believe, ever realizes that he has lost a step, and he still thinks he can get away with what he did when he was truly the very best. And you can't, you can't lose a step when you're a pain in the ass.
Well, but that just makes my point that those guys are the very best, and they think that they are the very best. And that's why for a certain time they were the very best. And then once, whether it's the team falls off a little bit or they fall off a little bit, it can become a problem. But that very attitude is what made them the best to begin with. Yeah. You know, there was 2-3 years where Le'Veon Bell was undoubtedly the best running back in the game, where Earl Thomas was arguably the best safety in the game. And now they're not, but they're a problem.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like the dominant boxer, right? The dominant boxer is usually a bit of an ass. You're the alpha male, and you need it to be on the mountaintop. But it's tough in a team sport versus being a combat fighter.
Yeah, but then you have like those special guys like Frank Gore.
Yeah,
or like
Larry Fitzgerald
that just do it the right way, and they're still playing, still out there.
That's why they're truly special.
And that's
why they're put in their own category. Because those guys are truly one in a million, right? I mean, you can count on one hand the number of guys who have that type of career with that type of attitude. It's just so remarkable what they have done.
Did you play with anybody like that? Hold on.
Wow. Drew?
Yeah, Drew Brees.
I mean, but it's different at a quarterback position, right? You know, so often the malcontents are the ones who, the running backs, the receivers, the DBs, the guys who have to be so incredibly explosive and so incredibly confident. You know, it's the whole Keyshawn Johnson, give me the damn ball, right? And that's not the mentality of a quarterback. Jason Taylor?
Yeah.
Jason Taylor would be a good example of that. I mean, he was the defensive player of the year the year I was with the Dolphins with Nick Saban. And, just based off his the way he carried himself, you never would have known that he was a Hall of Fame defensive end, just a good guy who worked his butt off.
It's funny you mentioned Keyshawn, because my 2 years in Tampa was Keyshawn. And I saw maybe the two best examples, and they're all Hall of Fame players, but I saw Keyshawn Johnson, Warren Sapp, and I saw John Lynch and Derek Brooks. And you couldn't, I mean, all four of the guys, right? All timers, three of them already in the Hall of Fame. And you couldn't have a bigger divide on a team between the way those four guys went about their business.
That's true. But that's what you get, right?
It's like a melting
different
pot.
Ways to go about exactly. And that's what makes the NFL so great.
All right, so you mentioned Nick Saban. What's more likely tomorrow? Mike Leach's offense actually scores or Nick Saban actually coaches?
I would say that there is never a game when Nick Saban does not. Oh, well, that gives you to
he's going to coach.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, well, what do you mean? Nick Saban isn't going to have to coach because they're going to win by – no, he has COVID.
No.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. Fake news. He'll be out there. Well, they're saying false positives now, or they're saying he's testing negative now, and if he does that dude, they're doing everything they can to get him on that sideline, and it's great. Well, it's not great, but it's –
he'll be there.
Exactly.
That was the most defeated.
He'll be there. All right, sir. Enjoy Black Butte. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
J. Joseph Harrington every Friday, 5:30 for cool football discussion. All right, the club is next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.